Tonight's shiur, Parshas Vayera, is brought to you by the Weinblatt family of Rav Beit Shemesh, Liuli Nishmas Yaakov Yitzhak Ben Chaim. The Sedra starts out, Vayera Elav Hashem, Hashem appears to Avram, Belunei Mamre, after his Mila, Hashem came to visit Avram. What's the significance of Elonei Mamre, the plains of Mamre? So Rashi says, "Hu shenasan lo eitza al hamila lafikach nigla elav bechalko." So since Mamre gave eitza to Avraham to go through with the mila, so in his chus Hashem appeared to Avraham Dafka in the plains of Mamre. So everybody asked the question: what is Avraham doing, asking for an eitza on the mila? What, as if to say, he says, "Oh, Hashem told me to do Bris Mila, but I don't know. Let me ask some advice." Who's he asking? It's Goyim, you know. So I go to the Mila, and say, "Man, so he says, yeah, okay, yeah, you should do it. Okay, good, fine. What is he doing? Asking Eitzes? Hashem said you have to do a Bris. You do a Bris. What are you asking Eitzes?" So various answers. The Gan Rava brings down that Eitzah here doesn't mean advice. Or what does it mean? So there's so what happened was Avraham did the Bris Mila, and then he was bleeding a lot. So what do? You have to clot the blood. So what do you go to a Bris? What do you see? That after the moral cuts, he puts his powder on. It's a special powder that it helps clot the blood. So he said that's what Eitzah is. Eitzah is this powder made up of. It's like a powder from old wood that's like rotted, and then you take the powder, you crush it, and you make it into like powder, and that powder is like a blood clot. So in Mele, that's what it means that he took Nasan lo Eitza lo Mila, means that Mamre gave Avram the powder for the Bris Mila, so it shouldn't, it should clot, the blood should clot. Mele, that's the Eitza lo Mila, it's not the advice. There's a midrash that says that Avram sent Eliezer to look for Orchim, right? He wanted to have Orchim really badly, and as we know, Hashem, you know, made it took the sun out of its case and made it very hot. So there's no Orchim around. So he sent Eliezer. He says, "Go find me some Orchim." So Eliezer goes out, comes back empty-handed. He says, "Nobody's around. I couldn't find it. I can't find any Orchim." So what did Avram say? Says the Midrash, "Ein emuna avadim." See, you can never trust these avadim. You know, you tell them to do something, they don't do it. So he says, "I'm going to sit here at the Pesach Oel, in my tent, and we'll see. The Orchim will come." Sure enough, the Orchim came. So they ask, "Well, what's going on? What taina did Avram have against Eliezer? Oh, you can't trust these avadim. Come on, you can't trust Eliezer. Eliezer is a faithful servant of Avraham. You couldn't trust him." So Levinstein answers with the story. Once the Brisker Rav contacted the Rav Tenenbaum Zatzal. He was secretary of the Vadi Yeshivas, and he calls him Erev Yom Kippur. He calls him over Erev Yom Kippur, and he says, "Rav Tenenbaum, I have a job for you to do." He says, "What's that?" He says, "There's an avreich that got messed up with the army. Didn't get his organize his papers, whatever. The kids, they put him into jail, and the army put him into jail. He's sitting in jail now, and I want you to get him out. You have connections. I want you to get him out." So Tenenbaum said, 100%. You know, first thing, Motzi Yom Kippur, I'll deal with it, and I'll get this avreich out of jail." So Britzky Rav says, No. Not Motzi Yom Kippur. Today. He says, "Rebbe, you know, with all due respect, I'd love to help, but it's Erev Yom Kippur. Nothing's open. The offices aren't open. Nothing's open. I can't get him out of prison today on Erev Yom Kippur." So the Brisker Rav said to him, "Don't tell me you can't. Tell me you don't want to. If you wanted to, you could. Don't tell me I can't. So you don't want to." Anyways, Tenenbaum took the hint, and he went to see what he can do. So he went to Yerushalayim to Schneller. Now is in Gula there, so the base Schneller. And he went over there, And there was an officer, and he happened to be there, you know, still in those area of Kippur. So he goes up to the officer, and he says to the officer, calls him over, he goes, psh, come here. He says, yeah. He says, you know it's area of Kippur? The officer says, yeah. He says, how would you like a nice big bracha from a great rabbi? I'm a great rabbi, it's area of Kippur, you know, very important to get brachas. I'll get you a bracha from a great rabbi. So the at the briskera, you know. So the officer said, you know, wow, yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah. He says, okay, so you just gotta do one thing for me. He says, what? There's this vreich in prison, you have to get him out. So he thought, he goes, okay, you know, I think I can do it, I have connections. So first thing, Motzi Yom Kippur, you know, I'll get this vreich out of prison for you, no problem. He says, No. Not Motzi Yom Kippur. Today I want this avrecha. So the officer says, what, today? I can't do it today. How am I going to do it today? Is there a Yom Kippur? Everything's cool. I can't. She says, don't tell me you can't. Tell me you don't want to. So he goes, what do you mean I don't want to? I want to, but I can't. And he goes, no, that's okay. This is not exactly what the briskerov told me today. I was just, you know, repeating it to you. So anyway, so he said, ah, okay, whatever. Anyways, he did what he could. And sure enough, he got him that day. Out of prison. Rav Tannenbaum went to Brisker Rav, told him the good news, and said, you know, the only thing is, it's going to cost you a bracha. Yeah. But besides that, okay, anyway, so back to the matter of hand. So too with Eliezer. He sends, Avram sends Eliezer, comes back, I couldn't find anyone. What? I can't. How am I supposed to find, So Kilu Avram was saying to Eliezer, don't tell me you can't find Orachim. You don't want to find. You really, really want to, you could find. And Avram says, here, I'll show you. He sits by the tent, and he really, really wanted to have Orachim. Sure enough, the Orachim came. Pasuk says, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Dalet, Yukachna me'at mayim v'rachatzu raglechem v'shanu tachazet. So the visitors came, and there were, of course, angels disguised as these Arabs. And Avram says, take a little bit of water, wash your feet, etc. So Rashi says that these were Arabs that bowed down to the dust of their feet, etc. And therefore, that's what, you know, Avram thought. And therefore, he told them to wash this through their feet so they wouldn't bring in this dust that they bowed down to, etc. So, and the Gan Rava asked, what? He says, how could Avraham not known that these were Malachim? Say, well, how is he supposed to know? Teretz is very simple. It says that human beings, since they're physical, they give off shadows, right? You stand outside, human being, the physical thing, shadow. But Malachim, since they're spiritual, they don't give off shadows. So all Avraham would have to do is say, wait a minute, there's no shadows over here. These guys aren't giving off shadows. You know, it was nighttime, you know, it was the day. So there should be shadows. And he didn't see. So he right away should have realized that these are Malachim. Why did Avraham think they're Arabs and tell them to wash their feet? And he should have realized right away that they're angels, because there's no shadow. So the answer is, it says that he was Yoshe Pesach HaOhel Kachom Hayom. When was Avram sitting here by his tent when the angels came? It was B'chom Hayom. What's Chom Hayom? So the Gemara says in Brachas that Chom Hayom refers to 6 hours of the day. What 6 hours of the day? Chatzos, midday. And midday, there's no shadows, because the sun is straight up above you, so there's no shadows. Mele couldn't tell. He wouldn't say, hey, there's no shadows. And nobody would have shadows in the middle of the day. Mela, that's why Avram couldn't tell if they were that they were Malach. Similarly, this answers another question that by the Chet Ha'Egel, right? The Chet Ha'Egel says that they're waiting for Moshe to come down the mountain, waiting, and he doesn't come down. So they thought, oh, he's not coming, he's dead, and they built an eagle as a replacement. So the Midrash also says that what happened when they're waiting for Moshe. The Satan wanted to, you know, make them do the ego. So he brought them an image of Moshe Rabbeinu in a coffin, and so they saw, oh, he really is dead. And then they said, then they led him to do the ego. So once again, you can ask the same question: why l'chura they should have known it's not really Moshe Rabbeinu in the coffin? Why? Because there's no shadows. Right? You are a physical being, if you physical things give shadows. There's no shadows here. So they should have said, ah, that's not a real Moshe Rabbeinu in a casket, because there's no shadow. But what does it say? It says in the Pasuk that when they're waiting for Moshe, it says these people saw ki boshesh Moshe. The Moshe was tearing, wasn't coming down. Chazal Darshan, what is boshesh? It stands for ki bashesh. Means it was the 6 hour of the day. 6 hour of the day, once again, is chatzos, no shadows, therefore they couldn't tell. In fact, there's no shadows that was, wasn't really Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi says on this, these words, kechom hayom, we said before that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out the sun from its case, you know, obviously miraculously. Why did Hashem do this? Because he didn't want to bother Avraham Avinu with Orchim. You know, he just finished had his bris milah, whatever. He didn't want him to be bothered and have to think, you know, deal with Orchim. So he dafka, did a miracle, took its, whatever that means, the sun out of its case, make it boiling hot, and so there wouldn't be Orchim, etc. So, with this, you can answer a question. And that is as follows. It says that in the Pasuk, that Moshe Rabbeinu, here he was, you know, Hashem appeared to him, and then he goes off and runs away, and he sees the angels, or in this case, in the thought, the Arabs, he runs to them. So here he was speaking to Hashem, and he says, "I'll not don't leave me, Hashem. You know, just wait a minute. I gotta get. There's a guest here. I gotta go to the guest." So he runs away and he goes to these guests. So what is he doing? He's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He leaves HaKadosh Baruch Hu and runs to the guests. So says Chazal, "Yes. From here we learn a rule. That is, Gedola hachnasas orchim yoter mihakabalas bnei ashchina. Greater is dealing with guests, taking a guest, than being with Hashem." Is here Moshe Benu, Avraham Avinu was with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hakbalach Beishkina. He left it to go to the Orchim. So we see Orchim is greater than Hakbalach Beishkina. So, famous question everybody asks, and that is, okay, that's a good rule. But how did Avraham know that rule? How did Avraham know that? How did he know that here he was being Shabbat? How did he know he was supposed to drop Hashem and run to the Orchim? Okay, from Avraham we learned it, but how did he know that? I mean, so according to what we said, it's very nice. Why? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we said, was Mishana the Teva, took the sun out of its covering or whatever, and so why? So it shouldn't be Orchid. So Avraham Avinu made the following cheshbon. He goes, wait a second. Hashem's doing this miracle, making a boiling hot day or whatever, not to be Matriach Mi. Okay. He says, but we didn't have to do that. All he had to do is come to speak to me, which he did, and that's it. Why? Because as long as he's speaking to me, I can't anyways go to Orchim. Right? So he doesn't have to stop. He wants me to stop me from going to Orchim. Let the Orchim come, a million Orchim. I can't go because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is speaking to me. So why did Hashem, is he speaking to me, and he does this miracle of taking the sun out? Ah, said Avraham, it must be that if just because I'm speaking to Hashem, that doesn't pater me from Orchim. Because if it was, he would just speak to me and finish. He didn't have to take the sun out. The fact that he took the sun out, that means I understand that Hashem, the fact that he did that, that it's not enough to me speaking to the Orchim. He's speaking to me. I have to run to the Orchim. And therefore, he has to stop the Orchim besides speaking to me. Speaking to me is not enough, because I would have to go to Orchim if there'd be Orchim. And therefore, he had to take out the sun. That's how Avraham knew that. Says in the Pasuk Vav, Avraham Avinu tells Sarah, Mari, you know, she says, just quick, go. And Mari, Shloshim Kemach Solish, Lushim Esugi, oh, take the flour and make it ugot. So, funny Lashon over here. It says here, you know, run, and Shloshim Kemach Solish. What's funny? Because Kemach and Solish are two different things. Kemach is like regular, like coarse flour, and solus is extra fine flour. So what is he telling her? Kemach solus. what is it? Was he telling her to take regular flour or fine flour? Kamachosolis. So the Gemara in Baba Metzia, Daf Pei Zayin, addresses this and says, Einachanami. She wanted to take solas. She said solas. Fine flour. Avraham Avinu said, no, regular flour. Solas, kemach. She was saying solas, fine. He was saying regular kemach. Says the Gemara, what do we learn from here? We see from here that a woman, Isha, Einah Tzara Be'orchim. That a woman is stingy, per se, when it comes to Orchim. So, obvious question is, that makes no sense. Sarah said the fine flour, the good stuff, the solas. Avraham said, no, the regular stuff. So, no, not the fine stuff. So who's Ein is Sarba Orchim? Who's stingy when it comes to Orchim? Avraham, the man, not the woman, not Sarah. Sarah Levin, she wanted to give the solas. Well, what's the shot? It's a pillar. It's also the Gan Rava answers a great question with a great answer. He says, we're all familiar with the famous Rambam. Rambam's Shvila Zahav. Right? That says the Rambam, that person, when it comes to Midos, he always has to take the middle road. Okay? Meaning, person shouldn't be stingy, not give, let's say, any money to the Tzedakah. Huh? But on the other hand, he shouldn't give away all his money either. Yeah, take the middle road, not to be stingy, not to be too spendthrift, but to be somewhere in the middle. Person always has to be in the middle with all his meters. Famous Rambam. Rambam also explains, so he says, what happens if a person finds himself, unfortunately, that he's not in the middle? Okay, he's, let's say, in our example, he feels like he's a miser. He doesn't want to give money. He's gotten to that level, he's a miser. So, says the Rambam, how does he fix that, adjust that? He can't just say, okay, I'll start giving now, you know, in the middle. You know, it's not going to work, right? What do you have to do? Why? Because if you just do the middle, again, you're going to fall back to the other side. He gives a mashal. It's like a stick. Let's say you have a stick, a wooden stick that's bent. Okay, it's warped. Now, if you want to fix it, you can't just bend it to the middle, because that's going to go back again. What do you have to do? You have to bend it all the way to the other end, the other side, and then hold it there for a while, then it'll go back to the middle. So it's the same thing with Midos. If you're at one extreme, you can't just put it to the middle, because it's going to go back. You have to go to the other extreme, and then taper off, and it'll go back to the middle. So therefore, in our example again, a person's very stingy, so he can't just say, okay, now I'm going to start giving normal amount. It's not going to work. You have to go to the other extreme and give tons, Duff could give a lot and a lot and a lot, and then taper off, and then you'll fall back into the middle where you should be. So with that, he answers beautifully the question. We said, how is this a raya that Isha, Ein and Sarah Orchim, and a woman is stingy when it comes to Orchim, Lefech, Sarah was the one that said the solas, the fine flour, and Avraham said the regular flour. Here it says, why did Avraham Avinu, he just gave what, you know, normal, regular flour, good, because that's, he was at healthy midos. But Sarai, why did she give the soul? Why is she going to the extreme? Must be that Isha in Antara, because the natural way of a woman is to be stingy, is to be the other extreme. So what do you do? We said if you're the extreme, you're stingy. You gotta pull and go to the other way, the other side. And therefore, because she went and gave the solas, that's a sign that a Nansar Borchim, she had to adjust herself. That's why she was at the other extreme, giving solas. That's what he says. So that's your cute vort, based on this as well. That we said, okay, a woman is a Nansar Borchim, right? Okay, she's stingy. So a man, her husband might think, you know, my wife's, you know, stingy with Orchim, so what should I do? You know, if I bring Orchim over, she doesn't like it. She's stingy, she doesn't want Orchim, whatever. It's such a knee, you know, mitzvah thing. So he makes the chesed, and he says, look, it's better I shouldn't. Why? He says, very simple. He says, the woman's, right, she doesn't like Orchim, let's say. And if I can bring Orchim, it's going to cause friction. And it's going to cause friction, it's going to cause lack of shalom bayis. And we know, the Gemara says, Eish ve'isha, zimzachu shchina shruya b'neihem. Right? If you have peace, shalom bayis, whatever, the husband and wife, it brings the shchina. And with no shalom bayis, you know, shchina is no shchina. So I want to have shchina in my house. So therefore, I'm not going to bring Orchim, because it's going to cause friction between me and my wife. So one might think this. Therefore, Alam Kham Chazal says, no. Gedola hachnasas orchim yoter miagbalas peishchina. In other words, comes the Chazal and tell us, no, that you might, okay, I hear your cheshbon, but it's not a good cheshbon. Why? Because you're saying, no, it's better shalom bayis, because that's a shechina, you know, and then have orchim. No, Chazal tells us the opposite. Gedol lachnasas orchim, you're tearing me akbalas pei shechina. Forget about the shechina, it's more important to have orchim. It's just tongue-in-cheek, but from the Agadas Maharshach, he says. Okay. While we're on the topic of stinginess, share with you a little joke. If we have time, maybe two or three. There was a very stingy man, and he came home one day, and his wife said, "Ah, you know, can't believe I did that. I left the chicken out and all night, and it went off. You know, it spoiled, and I have to throw it in the garbage." Well, he didn't want to, you know, throw his chicken in the garbage. So he said, no, don't throw it out. He says, what are we going to do with it? It's spoiled. He says, well, I'll give it to our neighbor. He's a poor man, and he hardly ever has chicken, you know. He'd love it. He'll jump on it. So he invites the neighbor over and says, here, I have something for you, a nice chicken. And he goes, oh, wow, wonderful. And eats it, gobbles it all up. All right, what happened? Next day, he's in the hospital. He ate rancid food, so he's in the hospital. So our friend here, you know, the miser, you know, feels bad for him. He goes visits him, mikrochol, you know, visits him in the hospital. Fine. Next thing you know, he gets word the guy died from food poisoning. So they give out. So what happens? He goes to his levaya. Then after levaya, you know, shiva. So he goes, of course, to the family, Menachem Avil, etc. Eventually he comes home, he says to his wife, you see, and you wanted to throw out that chicken. 4 mitzvahs I got from that chicken. First of all, tzedakah, I gave it to the ani. Second, bikur cholim. Then, halvayas ameis. And nichum aveilim. And you want to throw the chicken out? Similarly, there was once a miser that he was at home in his living room on the couch, and he was dying. He was a big miser, but he was on his deathbed. So family knew these were the last moments of his life, so they gather around, you know, and so he can hardly speak, you know, and he says, is my wife here? So his wife says, yes, dear, I'm here, I'm right next to you. He says, okay, good. He says, are my children here? He says, yes, we're here next to you here in the living room. We're here, Dad, we're all here with you. Don't worry. He says, okay, good. He says, are my grandchildren here? He says, yes, the grandchildren are here. Everybody's here, don't worry. So he says, everybody's here? He says, yes, everybody's here. He says, so why is the light on in the kitchen? Okay. These two guys, they run into the hospital, to the emergency room, and with a kid. So they run in, and the doctor says, what's wrong? So one of them says, what's wrong? He swallowed a shekel. And I'm scared, what's going to be? So the doctor says, who are you exactly? He goes, who am I? I'm the father of the boy. So he goes, okay, turns to the other man, and who are you? He says, me? He says, I own the shekel. Okay. Finally, at the end of the parasha, we have the Akedah. We've said this word before in passing. We'll just add a little bit to it this time around. It's also from the Gan Rav. It says that in Perikaf Beis Pasuk Yud, in the Akedah, we find Avram Avinu. He's getting ready for the Akedah. He comes to the place where Hashem told him, built him his Beach, etc., get everything ready. And he's he ties Yitzhak up, he's about to, you know, shecht him, go through the whole thing. It says, Vayishlach Avram es yado, so he sends forth his hands to take the knife to shecht his son. And then, all of a sudden, he cried out, Malach, Hashem, Malach calls him down from the Shemaim, he says, Avram, Avram, he says, yes, here I am, he says, no, don't, Al Tishach Yad Chalonar, don't do it, etc., etc. So they ask, what's this, first of all, what's this shlichus? He sent his hand, he sent forth his hand, what is it, sending his hand, when he grabbed the knife, whatever, Yishlach es yad. Secondly, what do you mean he sent his hand? How come it doesn't say in the previous pasuk, okay, Avram got to this place, but even Shem Mizbeach, Avram has some Mizbeach. Why didn't it say he took his hand and he built the Mizbeach? It doesn't say that. Why? Because obviously, what did he use? His feet? You know? But Yarech at the Eitzim, he set up the Eitzim. Why didn't it say he took his hand and said, because it's obvious. But Yaakov es Yitzhak Meno, why didn't it say he used his hand to tie him up? Because it's obvious. You don't have to tell me he used his hand. So why over here, but Yishak Avram is Yado to take the knife? All of a sudden, you have to tell me, what else is he going to shekel with his foot? Of course, he senses with his hand. So what's going on? So he says that a person, as we know, has 248 limbs and 365 gidim, sinews. And the arka negative is 248 positive mitzvahs and 365 negative. So every part of a person's body is connected to the mitzvah of air. And if a person were to be on the level and to purify himself, if he could really purify himself to the ultimate level, then his whole body would go after, you know, each part of his body would go after the mitzvah, stay away from the avera automatically. You wouldn't even have to think. It would just do it. So Mele, that answers our question. What happened? So Avram was on this level. Avram was on this level, which explains, you know, it says that Avram kept the whole Torah before it was given. Answers that question: How did he keep the Torah? How did he know what to do? Right? Where he didn't have a Torah, so how did he know how to do all the mitzvahs? There it says it went by itself. His hand just went, room, put on filling. He didn't even whatever. It just happened automatically. He didn't. It was just going. His body was doing it, right? Because we said if you're on the level, you're just do it automatically. You can't even. Your body does it. So he just did all the mitzvahs because he did it without thinking because his body did it automatically. So Mele, back to the psukim here. So Avram Avinu automatically just built a mizbeach because why? That was a sivui of Hashem, you know, to make a mizbeach, put Yitzhak on it, fine, and he did it. He just followed it, and his body just did it. All of a sudden, it got to the point where he has to take the knife and check the son. And Avram's like, "What's going on? My hand's not moving. Everything else just went automatically, you know." Now my hand's not going. I'm supposed to go and take the knife and check my son. It's just not going. Now, why didn't it go? Because we know. Because Hashem, even though he says, you know, as Rashi says before, they said, V'aleu, he wanted to put him up on his be'ach, you know, but not that he should actually shech. As we know, he didn't want him to shech. So Melech, that wasn't part of the tzivui to really shech them. So that's why his body didn't go automatically and do the tzivui shech, because it wasn't part of the tzivui. But Avram thought, oi, you see, maybe I thought my arm was, you know, properly, you know, I was probably on the level that it should go by itself, but I guess it's just not. I guess I'm gonna have to just do it myself. So that's why Vayishlach Yado, he sent his hand, like, I'm gonna have to just do this myself, because it's not going by itself. And he sent his hand, and that's why he mentions his hand, because that was what didn't go by itself. And he went to Shech. That's why that explains why he mentioned hands, why Vayishlach, until the Malach said, stop. So with this, we can also answer something else. And that is a very good question. How could it be that Hashem told Avram to shech the son, right? Kilu, he thought he meant to offer his son. Fine. And what happens? It says in the Pasuk, V'yikra elav malach Hashem min ha-shamayim. Now wait a second. Hashem told Avraham directly, go shech your son, right? Go offer your son. And he went. And then a malach comes and says, no, stop. You're supposed to listen? No. Right? If Hashem would have to, like, you could have said, excuse me, malach, you didn't, who are you? Hashem told me to shech. If Hashem comes and tells me to stop, I'll stop. But not a malach. So why did Avram stop when only a malach came and told him? There it is, like we're saying now. It's beautiful. Why? Because the malach, Hilu said, no, don't do it. And Avram says, excuse me, who are you? Hashem told me, you're Tzian. So he says, no, you're not supposed to shecht your son. He goes, what do you mean? Why do you say that? He says, I'll prove it to you. He says, think, Avraham, why the whole time you're building this bed, everything went automatic, right? You're on autopilot, right? Everything was going automatic. Just when it came to Shechtir, your son, how come then your hand didn't go automatic? So he brought a raya. There is my raya to you that Hashem doesn't want it, because your hand didn't go automatically. And that's what he was saying. You can read the pasuk like that. He says, Vayomer, al tishlach yadcha el anar, right? And what's my proof to that, that you're not supposed to? Because v'al taseh l'me'uma. Because it's not, nothing's happening. It's not, you're not doing anything to him. You see, if you just leave your arm, it's not going. So that's the biggest proof that Hashem doesn't want you to shecht. So that was his, that was the Malach's proof. So just to conclude, we'll now tie into what we said at the beginning of this year. And because this also answers a question we had before. We said that at the beginning of the Sedra, that Avraham Avinu was speaking to Hashem, and the angels came, whatever the guests, and it said Avraham left them and went. So we said from here we see greater is Kabbalah's Bnei Shechina, because he left Hashem to go to the Orchim. So we asked, well, how did Avraham know that rule? So we gave an answer before. Of course, we're saying now it's very simple. How did Avraham know that rule? Because his feet went by themselves. Very simple. We said he was on a level that everything just went automatically. So here he was talking to Hashem, and next thing you know, he felt his feet taking him and running to the guests. So therefore, here we see, since Avraham automatically went to the guests, that's how Avraham knew, that's his body did all the mitzvahs automatically. So Mela, we see from here, G'dola, Achnasas Orchim, Makbalas Meshchim. So Zot Hashem, he said, learn from Avraham Avinu, all the wonderful midas of chesed, etc., and of course try our best to mezakech, to purify all our ramach evarim, meshasagidim, and Zat Hashem, we should be successful as much as we can, and if Hashem sees at least our efforts, then He will crown our efforts with coming of bias, Mashiach Tzidkenu, bimhir v'yameinu, Amen.